Know your church fathers. Clement of Alexandria was an apologist in the late 2nd century. He ran a school in Alexandria, Egypt, where he instructed new converts and trained Christian apologists. He taught that only Christianity, with its revelation from God in the Bible, has the answers regarding creation, good and evil, and salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You received the dreaded phone call, and now you're scratching your head wondering, what do we do with our child? This is Wretched Radio. This story, it is not an exclusive. In fact, it is a common tale of parents who get brought into the educator's office. They receive the phone call. We need to talk to you about your child, with fear and trepidation. You go sit in a little teeny tiny chair. That just doesn't affect you at all. And the teacher informs you that your child has ADHD. And then, amazingly, they open up their drawer and they happen to have business cards. Wow, shocking, where you can go to professionals and experts and doctors so that you can get your child a prescription for SSRIs. What do you do? That story is so common. Dr. Greg Gifford has written a book. It is titled Lies My Therapist Told Me. Greg, I got to tell you something. First of all, the forward alone is worth the price of the book. Amazing forward. And the guy tells that very same story. Greg, could you tell a similar story?
We could all probably tell a similar story of our kids being questioned on their capacities, a learning disability or ADHD. And now our school psychologist has a test, a written test, by the way, not a lab work, not a CT scan or MRI, a written test to diagnose them with a disorder, a mental disorder from the DSM-5. So we're in a generation where if your kid's not doing well sitting in a chair for 6 hours, they must have a disorder, right? Like, we should just pause and be like, hey guys, there's a bigger narrative. There's a bigger story going on here. No, they're not sitting well for 6 hours. So we must diagnose them with something.
Yeah, 6 hours for a kid. For some of us, that was waterboarding. Right. I mean, we were just fidgety, which is, by the way, that's one of the marks that your child has ADHD. They fidget. My daughter's story was that if somebody walked down the hall, she'd turn her attention from the teacher to see who it was. I call that inquisitive and curious. They called it ADHD. Greg, your son was brought up on charges of ADHD.
That's true. That's true. It even came up again this spring. So as I wrote the book, and it was fifth grade or sixth grade, I forget the grade off the top of my head, where we did the whole school psychologist evaluation. We want to test him to see if he has learning disabilities, ADHD. But even this past spring, we again, same son, met with two school psychologists who began to tell us the way that anxiety works for kids and sent us a YouTube video on the way that anxiety affects the brain. And now all of a sudden, I'm sitting in front of two counselors making mental health assumptions when my son's grades were bad. So we went from bad grades to there must be a mental health explanation for why he's doing what he's doing.
Wow. Right? All right. Was there encouragement then to not just watch videos, but to maybe get a prescription?
You're going to love the encouragement. My wife and I still chuckle at it. When he gets tense, encourage him to take his hands, to push them together and to squeeze and then to release. And that will help with his anxiety. And so the hardest part of that meeting was actually not laughing through the whole meeting. What the takeaway is, though, seriously, is we're just jumping to, okay, you must have a mental disorder. You must. Instead of like, you need to work harder, you need to discipline yourself, you're really good at other things, but you're not focusing here. We're just going to immediately jump to words like anxiety or ADHD. And so I went into that meeting communicating, if you guys use a mental health term at all, mental illness term at all, I'm out, we're out, don't use that term with my kid in this situation. So they didn't. They used anxiety and they talked about the brain a lot. They gave us weird recommendations, but we didn't leave there because I was so assertive and clear about the way that the meeting was going to go and how I didn't want any diagnostic criteria or diagnoses thrown around.
Well, I bet they were like, who is this guy? Well, he's the author of a book called Lies My Therapist Told Me, Dr. Greg Gifford, fortisinstitute.org/lies. Let's walk through this, Greg. Your child is diagnosed unscientifically. You're feeling the pressure. You got a complaining principal. You've got, and you notice it too at home. Kids a little fidgety, got lots of energy. Walk a Christian parent through how they should process receiving the phone call and then being informed their kid has ADHD.
Our kids, first of all, are created differently. And ADHD is a very standardized way of evaluating everyone's giftedness. So why is it that that conversation is coming up? It's probably related to poor performance in academics at school, probably, and maybe some behavioral stuff. So what your school psychologist and teacher are trying to do is to get additional resources that come from the Individual with Disabilities Act.
There it is. There.
It's true.
It's right there. See, I was looking for that nefarious reason for all of that. There's money in this.
So you have to have a diagnosis to get those resources. So, they have a C. Let's test them. And why are we testing them? Because we need a label. And why do we need a label? To actuate or realize the resources that come with IDEA. So as a parent, you're thinking like, well, I don't want to hold back what's good for my child. I want to help them. These are the experts. This is what they're recommending. So you're getting pulled into this lazy river, funneling your kid into therapeutic terminology. And you have to be able to pause and say, but wait a minute, how are you diagnosing them? Who are you comparing them with? You mentioned this, I think it was last week on Wretched, the youngest student in the class. The youngest student in the class is the one most likely to be diagnosed with ADHD. And the greatest difference is your birth month. Are you born in August or September, depending on when school lets you start as a five-year-old? The youngest students in the classes are boys who are less developed, less mature, and they're the ones with the most probability of being diagnosed with ADHD. So then what do we have? Like, we need to get more resources. Who's being diagnosed? The youngest, least mature kids. As a parent, you should just say, well, wait a minute. If this is actually a disorder, then let's take them to the medical doctor. Let's do the scans, the tests, the labs, and let's find the physiological problem with them. And if there is no proof that there is a physiological problem, then you as a parent are going to say, school psychologist, thank you, but please keep your label perspective to yourself. We don't want to hear it. And please don't label my child with your made up illness.
All right. But they say, no, really, we maybe didn't notice I've got a number of degrees on the wall. You need to take this medication. Should a parent ever consider an SSRI for their kid?
Sure. Yeah, sure. And I answer that in the book too, in depth. The answer is, would you ever drink a cup of coffee to stay awake? Focus a little bit. People, adults do this at work all the time. Go grab a cup of coffee, get back to work. Helps me focus. Is it possible that that SSRI is helping the symptoms of what your child is facing? Yes, totally possible. It's not treating the cause. It's helping manage the symptoms. Does that mean that it's really helping long-term? Well, not if I'm avoiding the cause. If I'm failing to address the cause, I'm not really helping. It's like taking Tylenol and managing pain, but you're not dealing with why you have pain in the first place.
Okay, but Greg, right away, I'm like, well, hold on a second though. We just talked about the reason the kid's being diagnosed is because they've got ants in their pantsitis and they can't focus on assignments. And you use the word giftedness. Okay, so they don't have a super long attention span. So what? That's the way that God made them. Should I give a kid like that a prescription for being
There's
young?
A difference in can I and should I. Could, should.
Right. No, but what? How do I know if my kid could possibly maybe consider an SSRI to help them versus No, that's just entirely inappropriate. Right.
Wait, let them mature a little bit. Let them get out of the junior high age and into high school. See how they're able to discipline themselves. Ask yourself questions like, are they able to focus in other areas of life that they really enjoy? And what you'll find is most kids, the answer is yes. They can watch a movie for an hour and a half, locked in, super focused. They can play video games for 2 hours, 3 hours with no breaks. So what does that show you? Your kid has the aptitude. They're just having to learn to do things that are boring and difficult. And sometimes, sorry to make fun of school, but sometimes school is just boring and difficult. And students are learning they have to persevere.
Yeah, and to give them a label and then a medication when they just... In fact, I would say this. I would bet money that if you took a student, let's say in ninth grade, who's struggling, that's the zone typically for diagnosing these kids. Ninth grade, finish up the school year, oh, their grades are terrible. Rather than giving them an SSRI, have them repeat the ninth grade. I'll bet their grades would improve because of maturity, right, not because of medication. Dr. Greg Gifford's book, and it's called Lies My Therapist Told Me. It'll help you, mom and dad. You need this book, Pastor. You need this book because we are the experts when it comes to mental health. You can get this book at fortisinstitute.org/lies. This is Wretched Radio.
The world says you're broken, a victim of chemical imbalance, just another diagnosis and a long list of mental health labels. But what if they're wrong about you? What if there's a completely different perspective? Dr. Greg Gifford, a Fortis Institute Fellow, is challenging everything you've been told about mental health. In our exclusive forum, Psychology versus Scripture, The Truth About Mental Health, Dr. Gifford will reveal why the Bible never describes anxiety, depression, or emotional struggles as diseases, but instead offers a framework of sin, suffering, and sanctification. You're not defined by psychiatric terminology, and there is a path to true transformation that medication alone cannot provide. Join us for an eye-opening Fortis Forum that will help you break free from worldly definitions and find lasting peace in Christ. You can watch this Fortis Forum, available right now for free at fortisplus.org. That's fortisplus.org. Your journey to true transformation begins right now.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California, beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Truth. It's meant to travel far. It's meant to reach deep. It's meant to change lives. But for far too long, even the best biblical teaching has faced barriers, paywalls, price tags, limited access. And at Fortis Institute, well, we've been thinking differently recently. What if we could break through all of those barriers? That's why we're launching our Truth Unhindered initiative. We have extraordinary plans for the end of 2025, plans that will transform how pastors and families and seekers access life-changing teaching. But to make this vision a reality, we need you now more than ever. Right now, going on through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled up to $250,000. Double the impact, double the reach, double the transformation. Visit fortisinstitute.org/truth today, because when truth breaks through barriers, lives are never the same. fortisinstitute.org/truth.
Books of the Bible. The book of Daniel is about one man who submits to God above all else and God's faithfulness to his people in all circumstances. Daniel's prophetic visions teach us that God raises up and tears down kingdoms. All earthly kingdoms will pass away, but God will establish an everlasting kingdom. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
How big? Blockbuster big. This is Wretched Radio. It looks like a typical book. It is so much more than that. It is a blockbuster because it is aiming at something monstrous that affects all of our lives, that is causing so much confusion in Christian circles. How do I deal with so-called mental health? What do I do with these prescriptions they want to give to my kid? Lies My Therapist Told Me by Dr. Greg Giffert offers a thoroughly biblical approach, which is why I encourage you, I implore you, get the book, Lies My Therapist Told Me, fortisinstitute.org/lies. But there's another reason that this book is a blockbuster. Greg, who is the publisher of this book, Lies My Therapist Told Me? Would it be Zondervan? Would it be Tyndale?
No, Their mom is doing it. That's HarperCollins, the second largest publishing company in the world.
And they are affiliated with which church?
I wondered the same thing. I wondered the same thing. I really did. I was like, you are interested in publishing this book. Okay.
My book. You understand, like, Bible and biblical conflict.
And I'm not removing the Bible, right? I'm not taking the Bible out. You're okay with that, right?
If you took the Bible out of this book, it would be super thin. But it's loaded with Bible, and it's being published by HarperCollins, the second largest secular publisher in the world. It is a massive organization. And Greg, I can say this without feeling like I'm patronizing. They have been spectacular. Have they tried to edit the guts out of this thing?
No, they've actually emboldened me to be clearer on certain things.
Wow.
Seriously.
No, they wanted you to be stronger. Yeah.
And not in a clickbaity way, but like, hey, Greg, clarify this statement or support your claims from the Bible. And what James has done, James Neidhart, what he's done is forced me to even be clearer in my own thinking, which then expresses itself in my writing. So kudos to them all the way.
And, you know, kudos to James. He's the editor for my book coming out next year. He has been so helpful and he has stretched me. And I've taken what I've learned from this young man and I've been applying it to pretty much everything I do, whether it's writing or speaking. Structure, structure, structure. What's your premise? Make the case. Stay focused on it. Don't go off into tangents. Just powerfully deliver your premise. And wow! And so it's HarperCollins, this is amazing. In fact, the one chapter that I think that helps to illuminate how amazing it is that a secular publisher has published Dr. Greg Giffert's book, it's the chapter titled Treatment versus Transformation. What is that chapter about in this secular publisher's book?
I originally proposed the role of salvation on the mind. That was Greg Giffert's title. And James said, no, this is it. Treatment versus transformation. What are we talking about? How does salvation actually capacitate and affect your mind? And when you look at this chapter, I show you the mind before Christ and the mind after Christ. And that's all, it's directly from the scripture. So what do you need, treatment or do you need transformation? That's the real question. And when you look at the Bible is going to say treatment and health, quote unquote, mental health, treatment and health are inadequate and not enough. We need transformation.
And the transformation comes from
God, the Spirit at the moment of conversion.
You didn't mention the name of God in this book, did you?
I was like, wait, what, Todd? Of course. Titus 3:5, baby. We need regeneration in order to have a capacitated mind.
It's Mr. Baby to you, but that chapter is loaded with gospel because people need to understand. So you got to preach the gospel.
100%.
Unedited.
100%. Totally clear.
I'm telling you, this is really a big, important book. Lies My Therapist Told Me, Dr. Greg. Gifford, did you get beat up a lot because of that?
That's why I didn't want to tell you. I knew you would do this.
Well, then why'd you put it in your name? Oh, that's to make you look smarter. You put the initial in. Is that the deal?
Strike two, Todd. Strike two.
Here's what I would like to do with this book, to more than wet your whistle, but to help you understand how this will help you to understand what is being, well, sometimes just imposed on you by teachers, academics, school psychologists. There's a better way. So Greg, I'm going to read the chapter title and you're going to explain, just give me a as pithy as possible explanation of what this chapter is about. Are you ready?
So.
What then of mental illness?
Is mental illness even a legitimate category? And my answer is that you can experience sadness and not have an illness of your mind. You can.
Wow.
That's
how encouraging is that?
It's literally coming out of this diagnosis that has no empirical evidence, no way to verify you have it. And then saying, yeah, you can be sad. You can respond to trauma, but that doesn't mean you have a mental illness. It's time for Christians who know their Bible to reject the concepts of mental illness.
Well, but if I'm not mistaken, you can correct me on this, but I thought it was for instance, a widow grieves for longer than 6 weeks, they've got depression, anxiety, disorder, dysfunction.
Right.
Really?
Right.
Really? We're putting a time limit on mourning? How nice to know it's okay to mourn. In fact, Greg, it does not feel sad at the loss of a spouse. That's kind of like wrong and broken. Right. You should. It's human.
Right. Here's the idea. We're taking normal behavior and stigmatizing it and taking abnormal behavior and destigmatizing it.
Lies my therapist told me, FortisInstitute.org/lies. Insanity and the mind. What's that about?
I show how you can be out of your mind, to use the idiom within scripture, you can be out of your mind, and yet that is still different from a mental illness, quote unquote, mental illness. The Bible has a category for people when their immaterial mind does not match reality, the truth of what is actually happening in time and space. And that is insanity. That's what that chapter is about.
So is it the mind that's insane or the brain that has something broken?
Right, it's both. It's both. You are rejecting truth at the level of your mind. You're refusing to receive correction. You're believing lies. And you have bodily issues, physiological issues that are encouraging you to do that.
Chapter 12, disorder, disease, or disobedience.
Your brain does not cause you to look at pornography. And your brain...
Addiction, dude. Right?
The disease model of addiction is wrong. Like, we just have to say that it's wrong. It's unbiblical. It's not truthful. It's not accurate. It's all of those things. Your brain doesn't make you call your drug dealer. You chose to do that with your mind.
This could be a YouTube parody. Dude, I couldn't help it. Like, I wasn't wanting to do drugs, but something in my brain, it actually made me pick up my phone. It actually made me dial. And then it actually made me use the words to say, hey, I want to come get a bag of pills and things, whatever you say to a drug dealer. That's utterly ridiculous. You choose that.
Right.
So it's a decision. It's not a disease. And it's also just being disobedient. Now, again, how liberating is it to know that you don't have a disease, an addiction, and instead you're enslaved to sin? How does that help
somebody? As a Christian, you know that you never have to sin. You never have to sin. Can sin take a toll on your body? For sure. Now, we could look at a drug addict's brain and see the damage of their sinful choices on their body, for sure. But you as a Christian can be renewed in your mind and have a mind that is transformed so that not only you don't do drugs, but you don't even want to do drugs anymore. That is progressive sanctification.
And that is hopeful. Amen. Lies my therapist told me. I'm telling you, important, important book for so many reasons. I turn to the back, which is what most people do. The second they get a book, they hardly read the cover. And the first thing, we just intuitively flip that bad boy over. I'm seeing the endorsements from Johnny Artavanas. That kid, he's a comer, I'm telling you. The Johnny Artavanas. I'm serious. I've seen some of his preaching. Relbert Moeller. Huh. I know an Albert Moeller, but this is a Relbert Moeller Jr. You don't suppose they're related? Megan Basham. John Kratz, he's one of our Fortis fellows. Dr. Abner Chow, Emil Zwain, he's on the board here at Fortis Institute. These are endorsements up. Erwin Lutzer has endorsed the book. So many others. And again, it's worth the price of admission for the forward only. Trust me on that one. The book is called Lies My Therapist Told Me. Dr. Greg Gifford, encourage you, please get it for the sake of your family. And the result will be you'll actually have hope, encouragement, joy, clarity. And you'll be doing things more biblically. Greg, as always, you're the best, baby. Dr. Greg Gifford, Lies My Therapist Told Me, FortisInstitute.org/lies. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.